3, when Peter and John are going to the temple, and there's a man who's sitting outside the temple who's lame, has been lame for a long time, and people pass by and give him money. It's helpful, but it doesn't change anything in his life. Till these two guys come along and they say, "We don't have money, but we want to give you something else. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." At the mention of that name today, at the mention of that name, I just want you to let your faith rise up right now. That name of Jesus has power. It has power to change things for you. It has power to change you. It has power to make a permanent mark. If you're here in this service today and you need that kind of transformation that only the name of Jesus can do in your life, would you lift up your hand and let's believe together. And as we declare the name of Jesus, every chain is breaking today. That at the mention of that name of Jesus, every chain is breaking. At the mention of that name of Jesus, every demon is being cast away right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, every sickness is leaving our bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, every addiction is coming off of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, every broken place is being healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, strength is coming. In the mighty name of Jesus, hope is coming. In the mighty name of Jesus, our minds are being healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, our hearts are being healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, breakthrough is coming. In the mighty name of Jesus, miracles are happening. In the mighty name of Jesus, that family is being healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are standing up today. In that mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus. 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 He's here today. He's the provider. He's here today. He's the healer. He's here today. He's your King. He's your God. He's your Father. He loves you. I'm just praying right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That wound that's been festering in your heart. There are people in this service today, several people, who have deep-seated family wounds, deep-seated relationship wounds. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed today. Stand up and walk. Let that place that has been crippled, stand up and walk today. God has use for you and He wants you whole and healed. Be healed today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Can we give Him praise today? He's worthy. 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 He's worthy of praise today. Worthy. Hallelujah. Jesus, be glorified today, Lord. Oh, where would we be without You? Jesus, we lift up Your name. We honor You. We declare You are Lord. You are God. You are so worthy of all of the praise and all of the adoration. We will sing that name. We will lift up that name as long as we live. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord the best praise we've given Him this evening? Amen. Wow. Well, I guess we've got to move on. Hallelujah. Oh, may Jesus do something in your life tonight. May Jesus do something in your life. I feel for you who's been so trapped. May Jesus do something in your life tonight. May He turn things around. May you come out of here a different person. May you be able to look back and say, at that point, Jesus met me. May you feel Him hug you tonight. I don't know who you are, but may you feel Him hug you tonight. He's your Father. He loves you. May you feel His warm embrace. Know that you are loved. You're precious. You're cared for. God wants the best for you. He wants you to have the best life you can possibly have. Amen. Well, please be seated if you can. Thank you so much, worship team. Can we appreciate Miss Rebecca and Pastor Kevin and the team? We're so grateful for how you lead us so well. And thank you for coming and being here tonight. My name is George. I am born again. I love the Lord. He's been so good to me. He's been better to me than He probably should be, because I'm not all that. But He's been so good to me. And I'm so privileged and honored to be taking a few moments tonight to share the word and to encourage us. And I'm so grateful to Pastor Don and Miss Amy for this opportunity to do so. If you're new to Lighthouse, welcome. Please go back to your church. But you know, at NLC, it's our year of breakthrough this year. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm excited for what's ahead. I see the breakthroughs coming. But on Sunday, Pastor Don was talking to us about who remembers the thing, the one point that we left church with on Sunday. Great. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, do something. Love that, Pastor. And I want to take that charge that Pastor gave us on Sunday and break it down a little bit more, because it was such a nice, practical message. And immediately I hear the message, I don't know if any of you are like me, I tell myself, why is it so hard to do something? It's so simple, yet so hard. Why is it so hard to do something? Think about, we read from the story of Ruth. Think about the situation Ruth was in. You know, she's down in the dumps. How many of us would have the humility and the courage to go to Inda and say, Manze, I have nothing. If you just let me into the factory, I will come and sweep after the workers as they are working all day. Just how many of us would swallow our pride enough to do that? But we hear do something and you're like, I want to, but I can't seem to get a move on. I want to pray more. That's something I want to do. I want to make that decision. I want to eat better. I want to go to the gym. I even paid. I want to let go of the bad friendships and all these things, but I can't seem to make the journey to actually doing it. And so I thought today, let's help each other and talk about why this is so and what we can do to get out of that mold of paralysis. Because that's what it is. You know, Pastor mentioned towards the end of his message about a paralysis that we can get into. Has anybody ever been paralyzed? Yeah? You know, when someone is paralyzed and they are awake, they are aware. They are aware something is happening and I should be reacting to it. But for some reason, they can't move. So it's not that they are not conscious. It's not that they don't know, or, you know, you should be doing this or you should be responding to this. Like, I am trying to. I just can't. And why are we paralyzed in going out and doing something? So I'm going to share a few thoughts. This is just from my life, because I was also sitting in the service like you, listening to the message and saying, yes, tomorrow, the minute I wake up at 8 a.m., I am going to do the something. And then you wake up at noon and everything just kind of goes downhill from there. And the first thing that I think so many of us struggle with is a fear of failure. So many times we don't step out to do what we need to do because we are so afraid that we'll fail. We've been so conditioned that everything must go well for us to be on the right path. We are surrounded by tons of people who are so successful, and we've become so afraid as a generation that we will not measure up. And so what's the result? We just sit and do nothing. Some of us are afraid to commit to following Jesus because we think we will fail. We are so afraid to commit to live a certain way. We are so afraid to take on responsibilities. Hey, mimi siwezi kuwa cell leader. Because we are afraid that we will fail. But here's the thing. If you let fear take a hold of you, you'll never get anything done. You'll never grow. Think about this. If you step out and try to do something, and then you fail, you know what has happened? You've discovered a way not to do it. But think about it. What if you step out and do something and then you succeed? Think about the transformation that comes as a result of you overcoming your fear of failure. What if, like Ruth, you step out? I'm sure she was scared. Think about this. This is Middle Eastern Israel. That's the setting. Okay, this chick has been through the dumps. You know, she's lost her husband. Now she's thinking, if I go and put myself in that place, I will be judged. I'll be told, what's this woman doing here? She's out of her place. What is this foreigner doing here? She's out of her place. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she was sick. You know what the tradition was? If you are bleeding, you are inside the house. You're not allowed to come out. You're not allowed to touch anyone or touch anything because then you would be unclean. The person you touch would be unclean. Think about this woman sitting in her house with 12 years of trouble, having experienced failure after failure after failure, and thinking, maybe today, if I can overcome my fear, you know what would happen if she was found out? She would be stoned to death. So she's in her house calculating, if I come out of this house and then what I think will happen doesn't happen, and then they discover I have come out of my house and I am bleeding, I will be stoned to death. Think about her weighing these options and then stepping out of her house and lining up with a God who was ready to touch her and completely transformed her life. So in the place of fear, let me encourage you to let faith rise up in your heart for what God can do. Because what does the word say? Psalm 138 verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect everything concerning you. What are you afraid of? Now that doesn't mean that everything will always work out. We have to have the courage to face the reality that in life there will be failures. There will be times when we go out and we don't succeed. But have the courage to get up and go again tomorrow, because God will turn even what looks like failure into good for your sake. Proverbs 23:18 says, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. What are you afraid of? Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathways for your life. Not just a pathway, but the best pathways for your life. I like to think of this as GPS. Sometimes I might make a decision and I might make the wrong decision. I did something and it was the wrong something to do. But my ears are open and I'm listening to the Lord. Now walk with me here. When you have your phone and you put in a location on maps and you say, I'm going to such and such a place. And then at some point, instead of taking the left turn, you took the right turn. What happens? The map recalibrates and tells you, okay, now from where you are, here's how you're going to get to your destination. That's God. He's walking with us when we are walking with him. And he says, hey, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. There's a God in heaven and he holds you dear in his hands. Don't let failure hold you in a place of inaction. Because then you'll miss out on so much. So walk out in faith today. Secondly, confusion. So many of us are paralyzed because things are unclear. I don't know what to do. I know I had to do something, but I don't know. What do I do? It's like driving in the rain or when it's dark. You know you're supposed to be heading in this direction, but the path is not clear, so you're driving slowly, you're driving carefully. I have a malady that I don't talk about a lot, but I can't see very far. I can't see very far, all right? Writings, not people. People I can see. But writings. And so what happens is when I'm standing at the back of the hall and there are lyrics on screen, if I don't know the song, then I'm just, you know, watermeloning. Jesus. But here's the good news. You don't need to stay in a place of confusion because I have something called spectacles. I can take them out and wear them. And suddenly, oh, look. You know, the first time I put on my specs, I'm always complaining about how the screen looks, all right, to my guys back there. And the first time I put on my specs, I was like, oh, this is how it looks. Because it hadn't been clear. Look, here's the good news. God is a God of light. We are believers. The word tells us in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You don't have to live your life in a place of confusion. If you do not know what to do, the Bible says, ask, and the Lord will tell you. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Do you know why it's two different things? It's because the lamp can only see right here. It can see my next step, but the light casts its beam into the path so I can see where I'm going. That's what the word of God is. It's a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. This is why we need the word of God. Are you confused? Are you wondering what to do? Read the word of God. What does God say? Where is he leading you? When you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, see, he's revealing to you what's in God's heart for you. And this is why you need to pray. Because you know what prayer gives you? Prayer gives you boldness. When you've prayed and you've been with Jesus, you can testify to this. When you've taken time to pray before you go into something, I mean, you're so bold. You're so sure of yourself because you know you have the spiritual backing that you need to accomplish what you need to accomplish. So pray. Pray about the decisions ahead of you. Pray about the step you need to take. Hear from the Lord and then take it. Now let me just stop here and say there are some things that don't require confusion. Okay? There's no universe where sinning is an option. It's like, oh, he's so cute. I'm so confused. He's not saved, but I'm so confused. Stop it. Don't need confusion there. Just do the right thing. But learn the practice of listening to God. Learn the practice of searching out his desire and his will for your life. Learn the practice of hearing God speak about the things that you're facing. It's such a lost skill among us. We don't have time to just sit and listen and wait and search the word and hear this is the path that God wants me to take. We're just like kaende, kaende, and then kalienda, kaliendanga. Walk out with boldness. Thirdly, overanalyzing. Can all the over-analysts say amen? Amen? We want to see all the possible outcomes. We want to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. You know, there are two kinds of people in this world, all right? The one kind of people is, guys, let's go on a road trip. Yay! They get into the car and go. Then there are those other guys who are like us. Guys, let's go on a road trip. Okay, whose car? Who's fueling? How will we go? What if it gets dark? How about when it's cold? Who's buying food? Who's coming? By the time we are done with the checklist, nobody wants to go anywhere. It's like the moment passed. And this goes for ideas and dreams and things we need to go. We can get so stuck in a planning and analyzing mode that we never get anything done. Now, don't get me wrong. The world needs careful people. That's why God gave us mothers. And we are not to be imprudent, because the Bible does tell us, count the cost. So we're not to be imprudent. But we can't let ourselves get stuck in this loop of analyzing and analyzing that we never get anything done. There's a story in Acts 10 about Peter. Peter was like, you know, the apostle. He's waiting for lunch, so he's sitting in his your place, Apoju, upper chambers. He's sitting there, and then a vision comes to him, and these things are coming down. There are all these kinds of animals, and, you know, the Lord is telling him, take, eat, and kill. And Peter's like, no, you don't eat that. And he was right, okay? What kicked in that moment was his years of training, his years of understanding the law, his year of understanding what, you know, this is what's allowed and what's not allowed. And he's like, no, I don't do this. And the Lord had to tell him 3 times, hey, it's me telling you, kill and eat. Now, it wasn't an actual situation. He was being given an image of what would happen a few minutes later. His obedience is what led to the gospel actually getting to the Gentiles. Peter had to overcome his inhibitions about this is how this needs to be done and this is how this can't be done, so that God could use him to reach the Gentiles. So don't get stuck there. Don't let this paralyze you from going into what God has already revealed to you and asked you to do. In fact, the enemy uses this paralysis to lock us in these cycles of anxiety, because we are so overwhelmed by, oh my goodness, what about this and what about that? We get so anxious. Even coming out of the house is a problem. You just start thinking about all the people you need to talk to and the people you have to sit next to, the matatu, and then you have, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to stick here. I'm just going to stick here. Let me ask us today, ask the Lord to help you overcome that. Because Proverbs 37 tells us that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. God is in the details. If he has sent you in a direction, you can trust him that he will cover the details for you. As Pastor said on Sunday, step out and the Lord will meet you. He's waiting for your obedience. You've thought so much about talking to people about Christ that you never do it. You think yourself to the end of, wacha niachane tu nayo. After you've seen all the possible scenarios of how this will go wrong, they will slap me, they'll punch me, they'll call me names, they'll throw me out of the school. Oh my goodness, then I'll now be kicked out of my house by my parents, and then I'll have to go live in Pakistan and open a curry shop. It's like you've taken yourself to the end of the problem. It's like, no, step out. Step out and the Lord will meet you. Amen. And then finally, we can get overwhelmed by how far we have to go and what we have to get done. And sometimes it's just like, let me not do anything because there is so much to do. Have you ever had so much work that you're just sitting there playing Candy Crush? Because the work is so much. The work is so much that you're like, what's the point of starting? Like, I won't finish. The task ahead can seem so overwhelming that it paralyzes us. And I want to spend a bit of time here because I find this to be so true, especially where our walk with God is concerned. We get so overwhelmed by, can I do it? Can I go all the way? Can I serve God all the way? That our default is, let me just sit here. Or I've fallen so far that the way I see, there's no way for me to get back where I used to be. It's like, even if I were to pray every day for the next 14 days, this is what you're telling yourself. Even if I were to pray every day for the next 14 days, I'll never get back to where I need to be. The enemy lies to us. Or God has put in our hearts such big dreams that we have no idea how they would ever come to pass. And so what's our reaction? We sit there, not doing anything. Life can get so overwhelming. And the pressure around us, just instead of it causing us to rise up, it just drives us into fits of depression. Because there's so much to do, and I can't accomplish it. You know what the solution to this paralysis is? Just take it a step at a time. Do what's right in front of you. Do what's next. Keep moving. Think about David. He's anointed king by Samuel. The day that David was anointed king, did he get on a chariot and drive towards Jerusalem and become king? He didn't. In fact, if anything, he probably finished, said, "Cheers, guys," and went back to watch the sheep, because that's where he was taken from. But imagine today you, someone comes, a prophet that you can believe, a prophet that you know, this is Jesus's mouthpiece. And they come and tell you, "Hey, bro, you are the president." Just imagine. Now you have to go back to normal school with normal people and pretend like that you're normal with them. And you're burning inside. You want to tell them, "Guys, you know I'm the president." But David, anointed, just goes back to take care of his father's errands. He's the guy who gets sent to take things to the battlefield for his brothers because he's not even worthy to go fight. This is the anointed king, playing the harp for the king, just being wherever he needed to be, just doing what God had placed in front of him, trusting the Lord that what he said will come to pass. Think about Joseph. The guy has a grand dream of how everyone is going to bow to him. He's out there just watching after sheep with his brothers, doing what's next. He's sold into slavery. "Oh, oops. Okay, sour. I guess I'm here now. They need a house help. Here I am." He's helping in the house. "Oh, he's arrested. Oh, oops. I guess I'm in prison now. They need someone to organize things. Oh, here I am organizing things." What's right in front of you? Do that. Be excellent at it. Think about Abraham, the father of faith. The Lord tells him, "Hey, bro, I'm going to make you great." It's like, "Oh, yeah? Yeah, your descendants are going to be amazing." It's like, "Oh, okay, cool. I'm like 80, but okay." And then God tells him, "Listen, I want you to leave where you are and go somewhere." And everyone's like, okay. What happened to that other story about, you know? Think about what was going through his mind. What does he do? He takes his family. I like to imagine this conversation between him and his wife. "Okay, babe, we are going somewhere, a park." And Sarah is like, "Where are we going?" "I don't know, just park. The Lord has told us to go somewhere." Think about the faith he had to be able to say yes and say, "God, I'm going to take the step that you've given me to take. And I'm going to depend on you and wait on you and wait to hear you tell me what's next." Sunday Pastor talked about Peter. When Jesus called Peter out of the boat, that was a big ask. Peter must have gone through all of these things. "What if I fail? I will drown. What if I get out there and I misheard him?" He didn't say, "Come out of the boat." He said, "Hey, bro," I didn't hear him nicely. What if I misheard him? He must have gone through overanalyzing. He must have gone through the confusion of this instruction. In the end, he settled in his heart that Jesus had called him out and that he would surely be able to sustain the call that he had given to him. And he stepped out of the boat. And what followed is a miracle. When we talk about people who walked on water, it's a very long list. There are only two people on it. Jesus and Peter. Great accomplishments are made up of many great individual steps taken. This idea that I have to do something big, that idea is going to keep you paralyzed. If you want great accomplishments, what great steps are you taking right now, just today? You want to have a fire prayer life. You know the best way to grow in your prayer life? I'm going to give you a secret you've probably never heard before. The best way to grow in your prayer life, write it down, is to pray. Do it today. When you think about it, when you stop and think, oh, I haven't prayed today, don't say, I'll pray in 2 hours. Do it just then. When that notification comes up on your phone, hey, you haven't read the Bible today, stop and do it just then. Stack these actions. See, Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain, Paul is speaking, that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. We already have a guarantee that the work that God has started in our lives, he's going to accomplish it. He's going to finish it. So don't let the scale of what's ahead paralyze you. Don't let the scale of what the future looks like paralyze you. Just start that Bible reading, that family reconciliation, that walk with Jesus, that business, that gym, that better prayer life. Just start. The do something is just start. Don't sit there and wait for everything to line up. What if they never line up the way you want them to line up? You're missing out on what God wants you to do because you're so afraid, so paralyzed, overanalyzing it, overwhelmed. And yet God is just like, if you would step out. Do you know Peter started drowning? You know the story, right? Peter started drowning. But you know, he didn't. He didn't. What was the difference? The Christ who had called him and said, step out of the boat, that same Christ was there to hold him when the walk became difficult. That same God who's telling you, hey, you can do this, he's right there. Those moments when you might sleep, those moments when you might not go where you're supposed to go, he's right there. His hand is outstretched saying, you can do this. You can do this. You have the ability to accomplish this. So take a step today. Do what you know to do. Make one decision, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next, and see your life being transformed. And I want to help you with one last thing as we pray. A good way to make sure you're staying on your doing something path is have some accountability. Have someone who reminds you, hey, you said you're going to do this, or you started doing this. Anyone here who gyms? I'm not one of them, but I hear they say. But I watch the videos. This is great. Same thing, really. You know, they say that the thing that's going to help you grow the fastest is someone telling you, hey, bro, you can lift it. You can lift another one. Let me add another 5 kg. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you lift this. I'm here to help you do better. I'm here to help you become better. Have some accountability so you don't go off the path. So remember today, overcome fear with faith. God is invested in your success. Overcome confusion by reading the Word of God, praying, listening to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you which way you need to go. Overcome overanalyzing by remembering that God has the detail at hand. You don't need to get paralyzed in your assessing the details. And overcome that feeling of being overwhelmed by knowing that God is committed to getting you to the end. And he's right there. He's right there. Just take the next step. take the next step, and he's there for you. I want to pray for myself and for us. And as we pray, I especially want to ask, let's just close our eyes. Let's take a moment. I especially want to ask, because I felt to ask this, that there are people specifically in this room today who the thing you're stuck on is just you've been unable to truly make a decision for Jesus because you're so afraid that you'll fail. You're afraid that you'll start off and then you won't finish, and then people will make fun of you. You're so afraid that you don't have what it takes to do what you need to do. And there are people in this room who've been, God has been asking you to do something specific, to take responsibility, to come up higher. And you're not doing it because you're so paralyzed by the enormity of it. And if you're here and that's you today, I want you to lift your hand. And I want us to pray. Because we are believing that this Jesus who has called us, this Jesus who's calling us out, this Jesus who's saying, hey, you can do more, he's there. And he's waiting and he's willing. And Father, we pray tonight for those among us, God, who've felt just so held back in following you, in following you fully, in giving their lives to you, in taking a stand for you. That Father, today they are reminded that you, Lord, are the one who calls us out in you, the one who accomplishes our salvation. And so I pray, Father, that a faith would rise up in their hearts. God, to say, here I am, Lord. I am willing to follow you. Here I am, Lord. Here's my life. I'm willing to give it to you. Here I am, Lord. Use me as you will. Here I am, Lord. Give me that responsibility. I know that you will enable me to take it on. You'll enable me to do it and to do it well. I pray, Father, for all of us who may be feeling so paralyzed and stuck. Oh, that freedom is coming tonight. Yeah, Lord, you're helping us to take the next step that we need to take. That Father, you're helping us to read your word and pray and hear from the Holy Spirit and get the faith that we need to move forward. That God, you're helping us, Lord, not live in this place of confusion and anxiety, but God, to be clear in what you want us to do. I'm praying, Father, that our hearts and our ears, our minds are open to the Holy Spirit as he guides us and leads us. But Father, you're helping us, God, to become unstuck and to begin to move forward. I'm praying for situations and places that have been stuck for years, for months, that there's a freedom that's coming, that the chains are being broken today, that the chains of paralysis and chains of anxiety are being broken today, that we're walking out of here bold, God, going into what you've asked us already to go into, doing what we know is the right thing to do, making that difficult decision. If there are things that we need to get rid of, Father, give us today the boldness to do it. If there are things, God, that we need to take on, give us the boldness to do it. Holy Spirit, help us. May we live out this word, God. May we go out and do something. And may we see growth and progress coming in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? He's worthy.